Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today with another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. As we face the issues, may I remind us, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Multitudes of people in the world today will argue and debate a position with fabricated facts without looking at the fundamental foundation of what the Word of God says. May I remind us that there's not an issue that we can face, there's not a problem that we could discuss, there's not a theological doctrinal debate that we could have that cannot be resolved through the prism of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called having a biblical worldview. May I recommend it to you? Biblical worldview is where we go to the Word of God to resolve any discussion, dialogue, debate, in relationship to how should we then live. What ought we to do in facing the problems and the difficulties in life today? Let me remind you, as we face the issues, this broadcast is designed around a Q&A motif or concept. And that is, you can call in, ask your question, join in the discussion, and let your voice be heard. You can do that by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Be delighted to entertain your question, your comment, your input on the discussion. We're talking about descending into socialism, or if you please, declining into socialism. And before we get into the monologue, the dialogue, the discussion, let me remind you that the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." He said that to his disciples, John 8:31 and 32. There are a lot of people that say, "Well, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, what is the truth, and how do you know the truth? That is, if you continue in my word. Jesus then in John 17:17 said, "Thy word is truth." And so it's the truth of the Word of God. It is having a central biblicist worldview that I believe should give security and comfort and hope and peace and consolation in the heart and the life of any believer. Ladies and gentlemen, may I just simply be very bold in the opening statements of this broadcast today? May I say to you that I believe that the majority of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, the majority of the millennials today in America are simply ignorant of the true American history and what our founding fathers did, who they were, and what we have today as what has been called the American experience, the American experience. As a result of being ignorant of history, and many of them are ignorant of not only American history, but world history in general. Therefore, when the about two dozen today, socialist Democrats running for president as presidential candidates offer free stuff, we have the jumping up and down and the applaud for the free stuff. In fact, we're at the position today, ladies and gentlemen, I believe some 47%, about half of Americans today say that free stuff is good, that free is good. But I want us to just jump down the little list, as I call it, the litany of those things that we're being told today ought to be free. And this is being pushed by the Socialist Democrats, and we're going to talk about the decline or the descending into socialism. And I believe that's what we're watching today take place in America. And we ought not to be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 and following. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Not may come or perhaps will come, but shall. It's the positive, absolute statement that perilous times shall come. And that word perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, decimating, declining. Perilous times shall come. And it goes on to say in that text, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about perilous times, I believe that we could say they have descended upon us. And part of that perilous times is that desire for a global governance, that push for a global religion, that push for a global non-bordered nations around the world. And George Soros and his minions and about 200 of his corporate entities, well-funded by the hundreds of millions of dollars, are sponsoring different degrees of what we're watching today with this declension, this descending, this declining into socialism. I don't know if you know it or not, don't know if you realize it or not, but it's not just a single thing that's happening, but a multiplicity of those things that are coming together that are in the fragment areas, but are coming together as it seems as one fell swoop. But it's not by happenstance, it's not by accident, it's not by something that just may have taken place today. It's being orchestrated on a national and global level. But when they talk about free stuff, that is the Socialist Democrats, and it's not, again, something that just happened to take place. It's an effort that is a global effort that is funded by George Soros and minions that are under his domination and funding. And don't you dare believe that we do not have major funding from George Soros and the different apparatuses and organizations that he controls in America that's funding our politicians, that's causing them to push things like the Green New Deal, the AOC's claim to fame. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But some of the free stuff they're talking about is free education. They're talking about education from kindergarten through university, where it's free, where you pay nothing for it. Free health care. And they are talking about taking what is Medicare today and making it a governmentally controlled system for health care on a global basis. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's just take a picture. Let's just look at it. If you've got, say, $100 and you've got 10 people that's sharing in that pool, that's $10 each in health care. But if you've got $100 and you've got 1,000 people in that pool, it's only reasonable to understand that you're dividing it up in such a fashion that no one gets real health care in America if that takes place. If you don't believe that, so just look at other nations. Canada, with the Canadians, they have health care that's a universal health care program. It's social medicine. And those in Canada that need emergency surgeries or want or need heart surgeries, et cetera, need for life-saving remedies, they have to wait 3, 6, and up to 9 and 12 months. So those that have the money come into America and get the surgeries they need because they know in America with our health care system that they can do so. So we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, the declension or the declining or the descending into socialism. And I'm giving us the basis of the debate, the discussion, the argument on that in relationship to these freebies. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917, and jump in this dialogue and discussion today. We're talking about the Socialist Democrats and the ilk like that that's sponsoring and pushing for free stuff. Everything is free, free education, free health care, guaranteed minimum income. There's a push now for there to be a $15 minimum wage. $15 minimum wage. We'll talk about that in a minute because most are not aware of the fact that if that took place tomorrow, there'd be 1.5 million people approximately overnight out of work. About 1.5 million people out of work if that were to take place. In fact, here's an article that says new report shows how many jobs could be lost under the $15 minimum wage. raising the federal minimum wage to $15 could cost more than 1.5 million workers their jobs, according to a report released Monday by the Congressional Budget Office. The report found that raising the minimum wage from $7.25 to $15 could cost about 1.5 million people their jobs in the workplace. Now, that's a factual figure, and I believe it's a minuscule number. I believe it'd be far more than that. Picture for a moment, if I can digress in my giving the fundamental foundation in this monologue of where we're going. Picture for a moment if all of a sudden under the Trump administration, 1.5 million people lost their jobs. All of a sudden there would be a push saying that Trump administration must be replaced. And so therefore our socialistic agenda that everybody can have a job, everybody can have education, everybody can have a health care program, then everybody would scramble for voting for the socialist Democrats that would simply destroy America as we are seeing our nation descending into socialism. We're talking about free housing. Everybody have a place to live, no cost to them. Free housing. We're talking about today among the socialist Democrats. Millions, including the illegals, are getting free cell phones. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but free cell phones are provided for millions upon millions upon millions of people today, including the cell phone services. Now, someone said the reason the government does that is so they can have a tracking device for everybody. That may or may not be the agenda. That is part of it, I'm sure. But nevertheless, how many of you pay for your cell phone and pay for the use of it and the minutes on it? And yet we have the federal government providing millions upon millions upon millions of free cell phone and cell phone time. That's taking place in America, and it started under the Obama administration. It has not ceased. It has not been diminished. It has not been squelched or stopped, and it's still in operation today. Then there are those that are pushing for the right to vote by the illegals. There are those cities today and states that have issued driver's license for illegals so that they can use that as the identification to go in and register to vote and are to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, we have today a major, major, major dilemma and push because our president, I'm thankful for him. Let me just interject this. I believe that we have Donald J. Trump as the president of the United States today by God's divine intervention that's provided we, the people of the United States of America, with a respite of hope in the nation in which we're living today. And I don't have time to go into all of the dialogue and the discussion about what President Trump has done that I believe is good and wonderful and beneficial for our nation. But he's pushing today to have on the U.S. Census the question whether or not you're a U.S. citizen. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, that was on the census of 10 years ago. It was part of the census questions in 2010. It was there. And yet today it is not there. And it's because of Barack Hussein Obama, which I have always believed was not an American citizen, and it was removed during his administration. And now because President Trump, Donald J. Trump, is wanting to put it back on, there's a hue and cry that it is trying to suppress votes, and it's a hue and cry that it's a racist call simply wanting to know, are you a citizen? And one of the major problems that we have from the Socialist Democrats today with that, ladies and gentlemen, is that if they can water down the number of people that is shown on a census, that will change the dynamics of the districting and the representatives that's allowed for each district and for each city, county, and state across America. And it's designed for the purpose of allowing the Socialist Democrats to have free reign, allowing in the 2020 election the voting power of the illegals in America, those that are not U.S. citizens, those that have no right to vote. That is the push and the desired purpose for that. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing is free. Nothing is free. Someone must pay for it. The government makes no money. The government prints the money. The government makes no money. The government cannot increase the value, cannot increase the wealth of a nation by printing one bill. It cannot do so. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the government cannot generate money. The government generates no money. All governmental control of money, all the governmental control of the money is the control of money for American from money that comes in from the taxpayers. It's our money. The government's the one that controls it, doles it out, decides how to parse it out, parcel it out, and to give it to different groups and areas. AOC, Ocasio, has asked the question recently when she was talking about her Green New Deal and what all would be free education, free health care, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, was asked the question, well, who's going to pay for it? Who's going to pay for it? And her Green New Deal, the socialist program, if it would, and she very soundly, very boldly says, the government, the government. Ladies and gentlemen, the government doesn't have any money. The government is broke. All the government has is the money that comes in, extracted from the taxpayers' pockets, that is being utilized for all manner of programs today that, in my opinion, are ungodly, unholy, and unconstitutional. Perhaps you ask the question, well, why are you so concerned about socialism in America? Ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply cut through the chase as a Christian. If socialism were the reality today, we'd look like Venezuela tomorrow. And one of the first things that takes place under socialism is the socialist dictator determines that he's going to disarm the populace. He's going to remove anything that's called proper education, and is going to control the medical system, and will take away every right and freedom of religious liberties and the freedom of speech. You don't find in Venezuela today or any other socialist nation. By the way, socialism is communism light, L-I-T-E. You don't find in any other nation a socialist nation where religious liberties and the freedom of religious free speech is available. It doesn't happen. There's no right to bring about redress against the government during that time. If there's socialism, it is destructive for anything that's called biblical Christianity. Every Christian under the sound of my voice, you should be concerned, vitally concerned about where we're going. My question begs to be asked and demands an answer. Are you standing up for truth? Are you standing up for biblical truth? Are you defending the rights of Christians in America today? Ladies and gentlemen, there's some things happening in our nation today that should cause every Christian to be frightened. I'm just going to read some headlines. This headline says, Boy and Girl Scouts trained to support terror groups in Michigan. Another one says, School convinces a six-year-old that she's not really a girl. MasterCard to issue special card for transgenders. Another article says, Starbucks shop boots police officers because customer did not feel safe around them. Another one says, designers, this is out of Texas, designers refuse to be at a conference if any Christians are present. Ladies and gentlemen, I could read you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of articles that I have in my archives that show you the declension that's taking place in America today. We need to understand that we need to stand for truth. We need to stand for biblical truth. But yet today, when we talk about Christians taking a stand for biblical truth and a stand against socialism and the onslaught thereof, many of the so-called Christians just shrug their shoulders and say in a murmuring type, why worry about it? God's in control. He's going to take care of us. Or some Christians will say, Jesus is coming soon and it won't matter anyway. Or they'll simply retort by saying, Christians should not be involved in politics, and talking about socialism is politics. But ladies and gentlemen, when you go back to all of the scripture, you find that men of renown, men of old, were involved in the political movement in their day, and yet they stood as salt and light for that which is true and honorable for God. But wait just a minute. Do you realize that under a socialistic, communistic, light governmental system, the first thing that a dictator will do is disarm its citizens? It will cancel anything that's called religious freedom and free speech and religious liberties and rights to redress before the government. And that's what frightens my socks off, ladies and gentlemen, because right now we're at the tipping point in America where 47% are wanting a socialistic form of government, and yet they cannot tell you why. They cannot tell you the benefits and the values of it other than talking about free stuff. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, glad you're hitting this subject today. It is amazing how, as we lead up to this election, more and more of the socialists coming out of the closet, if you will. More and more of the Democrats are finally admitting what conservatives have said for a long time. You're a bunch of socialists. AOC, Ocasio-Cortez, and Bernie Sanders. Those are two of your foremost on the national scene. AOC seems to be running the Democratic Party today. As a socialist, she said recently when she was caught with literally no facts to a particular point that she made, she says it's better to be morally correct than factually correct.
Yeah.
And of course, we have a warning from way back that that's where devastation comes from, is where a person with a feeling of moral superiority is in control and they become dictators. And essentially, her idea is completely counter to a biblical model. Since we put all these things in the context of what the Bible has to say, there are points in the Scripture that ask the believer to, or require the believer to be charitable, to be loving, to be kind, to be generous. You know, down the path we can go. But there's not an obligation scripturally for us to vote for somebody that will put a gun to somebody else's head, take their money and give it away. Government is not to be in the business of charity. That Good Samaritan, a lot of folks like to tell the Good Samaritan story, but they don't study the Good Samaritan story. That Good Samaritan, out of his own pocket, provided for a man that had been beaten up.
That's right.
And he also did not endanger his own family. You'll see in the story that he took him elsewhere. He took him to another place and gave the money and said, take care of this man, and if need be, when I come back, I'll pick up the tab and pay even more. That's sort of a standard. People point these socialists, they want to point to themselves and claim they have some moral superiority, and many times they'll pull things out of context and say, based on this, we need to apply it to government. And I'm going, you know what, you people never quote the scripture when it comes to homosexuality. You never quote the scripture when it comes to adultery. But all of a sudden you have this socialist goal, this socialist ideology, and you want to yank something out of context and force fit it into your puzzle, and it doesn't fit. So no, you're not morally superior, and no, you don't have a Christian perspective. I oftentimes quote Proverbs 3:27 because it's great. It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point, and it deals with this subject of charity. It says, withhold not good from any man to whom good is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. And I oftentimes say there are two caveats to that verse. First off, good has to be due them. That requires you to make a judgment. You've got all these kids running around, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. Well, you know what? We're called to judge certain things. We're called to have discernment on these issues. When you hand money to somebody, you better be sure, to the best of your ability, that good is due that person. The scripture says you ought to. Withhold not good from any man to whom good is due. You have to do that, and then it has to be in the power of your hand. You can't force somebody else to do it. It has to be in the power of your hand to do it. Two caveats and one little verse, very short and sweet and to the point.
Well stated. Listen, Greg, I am so thankful that you called in. Let me ask you a couple of questions that I think our listeners need to understand. Some of the things we're finding in America today that are, that which portends and points to and shows us where we're going in the socialist declension and declining aspect of American the constitutional republic that we have in representative form of government. And it's born out of the ignorance, as I call it, and the lack of knowledge in relationship to our true history. We're finding our national heritage monuments being destroyed. We're finding today where crosses are being shunned. The Bible is being banned. But now some of the latest is where we are, as Americans, we're finding more and more dislike for anything that we call historic, and that would be called an American flag, etc. Are you familiar with the flag battle that's up in Latte, L-A-T-T-A, I don't know whether they call it Latte or Latte, South Carolina, with the Schuler's Barbecue? In fact, Marcus Lemonis, back in, I believe it was 2016, 2017, bought into Schuler's Barbecue. One of the things they have is a 165-foot flagpole and a 40-by-80 flag flying, and they have demanded that they take the flag down. The government's there, the little city government there in that little small town. It's on Highway, it's 419 Highway 38 in Lottie, South Carolina. And they're demanding that he take the flag down. They're fining him $50 a day. And he was on Fox News recently, and he said the flag's not coming down. They can keep on. He said he's tried to meet with the mayor, tried to meet with him and talk about changing their regulation if that's what they're going by. They refused to do so. But it's a disdain for American flag. It's a disdain for Americanism, even now where they are, what is it, the George Washington mural out in San Francisco, United School District there, where they're spending $600,000 to remove that mural that's been there for years and years and years. In fact, the article here says, district spending $600,000 to cover the George Washington mural. The San Francisco United School District will spend $600,000 to paint over a historic 13-panel mural depicting the life of George Washington after select working group demanded that it's racist. The 83-year-old mural at George Washington High School traumatizes students and community members, concluded the Reflections and Action Group that studied the situation. we're finding, and I use that as the point of illustration, we're finding where the flag is being disdained, and even now with the, what was the soccer team, the women's soccer team, American's women's soccer team, that when they won the final round, took the American flag, threw it on the ground, started doing a happy dance on the flag, and refused to go to the White House when invited on their last win. What do you say to that, Greg? What do you see in some of these things that we're talking about with the flag being demeaned and disdained and things like George Washington mural? Isn't that a good indication of where we're declining and the declension that we're finding as far as Americanism and American values and looking at America with pride?
The reality is the left has to demonize our foundation, demonize our history, demonize our founding fathers in order to cause a break between that standard, a standard that's unmovable, unshakable, because it's based on the Word of God. You know, our very foundation as a nation, over and over and over, you can point to provisions in the Declaration, and of course the fulfillment of that Declaration, the Constitution, you know, points in that are directly derived from biblical mandates, biblical principles. And in order to separate us from that solid foundation, liberals have known for a long time they must demonize, they must dehumanize our founding fathers. They must do everything they can to drive a wedge between this culture and our history, our foundation. And they're doing their best to whitewash and rewrite our history and painting over that mural. Can you imagine if the shoe were on the other foot? They would absolutely be running 24/7 on all the MSM networks, talking about those Republican book burners, those conservative book burners. That would be how it would be played. But
well, Greg, just as good illustration of that, Greg. I was alive and well during the Martin Luther King days. He was not a saint. He was a womanizer. In fact, some of the things that was being done, J. Edgar Hoover had half a dozen files on him because of his communist connections. And now some might get all bent out of shape and their ears twisted up because of what I'm saying. But I would not, by any stretch of the imagination, demand that we go across America changing the MLK highways and removing the MLK statues and removing the heritage of MLK from the textbooks. If the shoe were on the other foot, we were to try that, just as you said, we'd be demonized and there'd be a demand 24/7 to, remove us in some fashion, quiet our voices. But just as you're saying, there's a move across America to remove and demolish our American heritage, our statues. And now we're seeing what I call a final hooray of that is trying to demonize the American flag, that it is indicative of racism. It is indicative of colonialization. It's indicative of everything that is unholy and ungodly to hear the left say it.
That flag and the nation for which it stands have been the reason for the greatest prosperity known to man. More people have been elevated out of the depths of poverty through America and under capitalism and Christian restraint. The both of those together, capitalism and Christian restraint, more people have been lifted out of poverty than any other system on earth. Now, they would like to destroy that. They would like to deny that first, and then, of course, destroy that if need be, because their system would allow them to elevate themselves to positions of aristocracy. Now, I hear this AOC, and I hate to beat up on the woman, but I think she's a neophyte. She's wet behind the ears. She's a greenhorn. She doesn't know what in the world she's talking about, but she wants to speak.
She's a fruitcake, let's face it. We got about 30 seconds. Let's do this, and I'll get your response to it. One of the things that they have to do in order to stand up, a socialistic form of government, they must tear down and destroy the present form of government. They do that through some kind of major social, ethnic, economic division to cause distrust and declension. They must do that by class warfare. They must do that by ignorance of our history. They must do that by causing destruction of our flag and the cross and anything that is good and godly and holy. Take us out on this broadcast, Greg. Tell our listeners what we need to do as Christians in face of and view of the fact of the socialist movement taking place.
Christians need to get out and vote. They need to get out and participate. If you have the wherewithal, get out and involve yourselves in civil protests in favor of our nation, in favor of our flag, in favor of our founding fathers.
Amen.
Absolutely. We have a great heritage.
Yeah, we do. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.